And I am Jordan Taylor. Welcome to A Shot of Whiskey Podcast, Season 2, Episode 11. Let's get right into it. But before we do, I got to tell y'all that Underdog Fantasy is still a great partner of ours. And on top of that, even better news, they're currently running a promo for all new users. They've been doing that all season long. And the easiest way for you to get in is by downloading our code. That's ASOW24. And signing up that way, and if you've already registered but haven't deposited, you can still use the promo all the way until the end of the season for sure. So stop waiting, jump on, and start playing along with us on Underdog Fantasy. And Badger fans, we got a very, very special episode for you guys this week. A little bit of a Badger reunion. We got six total, including Josh and myself. We have Jared Bergren, 2013 graduate. Quentin Smith, 2000. I was about to put the W on there. Quentin Smith, 2011 graduate. John Lure, 2011. And Dan Fahey, 2013 as well. Fellas, appreciate you joining us. What's happening?
Happy to be here. Thanks for
I was waiting. Who's going to be first?
yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's going to be tough. Get everybody get their rocks off, so to speak. But before we get into the Before we get into the reason why we have a little bit of a Badger reunion, we're here. Obviously, we got to talk about the squad. A little bit, you know, struggling right now. All of us have played on teams where they're struggling. So we'll just kind of go one by one, kind of talk about what you've seen from the Badgers this year, what you expect come tournament time. And we'll kind of start right to left. So we'll go with Jared first.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's, you know, they're in a slump now and it's been disappointing over the last like month, really. So I saw them when they played in Minnesota, you know, tough game there where they were able to grind out the victory, but it's the way Badger basketball is. It's, you know, we play generally these little bit lower scoring games, not as much, you know, this year as years past, but we don't generally have the capacity to separate the way, you know, some other teams do. So a lot of times it comes down to a few possessions here and there. And, you know, I don't think they're far off, but when the margin for error is small like that, you know, they've found themselves on the wrong side of things in these last, you know, seven out of the last nine or whatever it is. So I think, you know, I'm still optimistic that they can get things rolling come tournament time, but obviously they got to get some things cleaned up over the last couple weeks here.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, John, we had a team back way was, I think, my freshman year. We lost six in a row at the start of the year, had some ups and downs. We were sweating. Q as well was on that team, obviously, and Jared, all three of you guys. But going to John first. I remember sweating on selection Sunday, hoping we were getting to the tournament. So what do you expect to see these guys as far as what seed they're going to get and what do they have to do to make a run in March?
Yeah, momentum is a funny thing, right? It's like you look back in the season in totality and you're ranked six at one point, and then, you know, all of a sudden you have you're first in the Big Ten, you're 9-1, and then the game against Nebraska, things just kind of send us into a tailspin in the second half there. But, you know, to your point, that season we were able to turn around, make the tournament, win a game in the tournament. So, you know, I think all it takes is one game to really get right and build momentum, and that's what I'm looking at right now. I mean, this team has experience, they have talent, they have all the things you need to make a deep run. So I have a lot of belief in them. If they have that belief and can come together and peak at the right time, then everything else doesn't matter, right? It's, you guys all know, right? What do they ask you? Oh, how far did you guys go in the tournament? That's all anybody really cares about. So if you make a deep run in the tournament, you know, you had a great season. And they still have the opportunity to do that, and I really believe they can.
When you guys were on the bubble, did you win a Big Ten tournament game? Like, what did that look like? Because I feel like the Big Ten tournament is like a new jolt of like energy and like new season, that feeling, you know, because right now we're just in a rut and it's almost like we need the Big Ten tournament. So just, there's like a new sense of like excitement. So I'm curious, you guys did not win? No. Okay. That was a dumb question.
Didn't we lose? So,
hopefully they, the first round, I was trying to make this team look positive saying we can get a couple wins in the Big Ten tournament.
We lost it. We lost in the first round. Damn. won the first round tournament game. We beat Florida State that year. But I guess this for Dan and Q, both of you guys. You guys obviously as walk-ons know a lot about sacrifice, having to play on scout team and, you know, put all the work you guys in, not always necessarily be rewarded with playing time maybe that you want to have. So I guess for me, this team is seeing kind of struggling with that, finding the balance between, you know, Chucky one game has Chucky's had to sacrifice offense. Now he's coming alive. I think AJ at times has to sacrifice his shooting, sacrifice shooting when he hasn't at times. Tyler Walls had to sacrifice, et cetera, et cetera. So just talk about, I guess, that sacrifice that needs to happen for them to make a run.
I was going to wait to see how long it took for someone to mention the walk-ons, but I guess I'll take it. I was going to say that. I mean, there's not been a game all year where all the guys kind of like click and play well together. I mean, even like I think back like Marquette game, Klesmet went off, but other dudes didn't go off. There's been games where AJ, that first half Nebraska, looked like a superstar. I think they need a game where they just get a few guys going at the same time, because it hasn't been everyone playing well at the same time. And when they do, I think they're super dangerous offensively. Defensively, I think they need to find ways to get stops. Like every time they'll be cut a big lead down to like four and they can't get that next stop, and all of a sudden it stretches out. But offensively, they're so deep compared to prior years that I think if they can get some stops, get guys playing well at the same time, hopefully that can lead to a big spring.
Thank you. Yeah, I hate to say that Dan is right, but I think it does start on the defensive end as well. You know, Chucky's been real good at the point of attack, but I feel like the other four have to pick it up as well. And then it's the loose balls. I see a lot of games where, you know, we're not getting those 50-50 balls that we used to get. So, you know, that's all about grit and effort right there. And that's what I want to see more of as they enter the Big Ten Conference and the NCAA tournament too. But defensively, they just got to button up. And, you know, this is when it counts, because pretty soon it's about to be lose or go home. So we just got to figure it out.
Yeah, definitely time to figure it out. They showed a lot of some grit, I think, against Illinois. Obviously didn't come out with the win, which was tough to see. But for us, I think the bigger story on Saturday, I believe it was Saturday, right? My days are all turned around in London on Saturday, yep, was obviously Coach Howard Moore, a coach of all of us, loved by all of us. That was a big story, him returning to the Kohl Center for the first time in 5 years, I believe, which was a great scene. I wish I could have been there. I know Josh, Jared, you guys were there, right? Dan, you were there? Were you there on Saturday?
Yep. Q and I also in the house.
Q as well. Mm-hmm. So I think me and John are the only guys who missed out, unfortunately. But obviously a great moment. That's why we're all here today, kind of as a tribute to Coach Moore. We want to talk about his contribution to not only the Badger program and to everybody in his life, but our lives individually. So I guess I just want to start. I'll let you start off and just talk about some of the process and watching his journey both up close and from afar. I guess for you, there was an event back in April. Just kind of you and Dan can both walk us through that and how fun it's been and how great it's been to see him, his recovery from then up until, you know, coming to Kohl Center on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You said we've all been coached by Coach Moore. Coach Moore was actually never my coach. My freshman year, it was his first year out, and then he came back like 2 years after I did. So we never actually crossed player coach paths. But yet every time I see him and I've saw him over the years, like he acted like I was like his prized possession recruit. Like I was the most important. Like it just felt like we were player coach, even though it never actually happened. And we've always just had a great relationship. And I think that's just because I was a part of the Badger family, and like that meant his family. And I think we all know how much he loves the Badger family. So, you know, that event itself was special. I think most of us were there. It was the first time we got to see Howard up and personal, and it was just really good to see his family, the Badger family, as I mentioned, come together and just support him for all that he's done for the university and all of us throughout the year. So it was emotional. I think we can all agree to that. But at the same time, it was a celebration to really, you know, honor him and his family, because it was great to see his parents there and Jarrell, and it was just awesome. And then the culmination of the game, which I think we'll get to. But yeah, Dan, you can probably talk more to the event itself, because I know you were instrumental in not only being there, but helping organize it.
Yeah. I mean, I think journey is the right word. Jordan, you used it, but it's been a journey, obviously, from the accident to the stroke and to the point now. And the April event was a way to kind of show people, I mean, he's still there. He's still fighting every single day. His family, his parents, and Rashard, Jarrell, his brother Darnell, I mean, those are the true heroes. I mean, they are with him day in, day out, helping him. And you can see it in Coach Moore. He's fighting to get back to his normal self, to be able to walk and talk and do it. So April was about kind of reintroducing him, showing people where he's at. And the ultimate goal is that he's going to be able to be back at the Cole Center. I mean, someone said it this past weekend, but he is like the most constant staple of the Badger family, between a player, and then he was assistant coach, then he came back as assistant coach. I mean, his Wisconsin basketball journey spans 40 years. So to have him back at the Cole Center in front of 17,000 was really special. And you could feel his excitement. I mean, he was given all the fist bumps, and he was surrounded by his old teammates. And you could just feel the excitement. And Jarrell spoke, and we could talk about it. But, I mean, you talk about – it was powerful. I mean, Jarrell was going through so much, and he was so stoic. And speaking in front of 17,000, he just thanked them. He thanked everyone for being around his family and rallying around it. It made me proud to be a Badger, and really happy I got the chance to play for Coach.
Yeah, Coach Moore is the reason that I know for a fact Dan is the only Badger recruit who's actually from Chicago, because you know his line. He ain't from Chicago. It was cool to see. You could feel the energy through my phone screen, through my computer screen, when he came out on the court. And I asked Josh a couple questions what that was like, and it was cool to hear his answer. And you spoke about Jarrell. I remember Jarrell used to hide behind Coach Moore when we would go try and say what's up to him. You hide behind his legs and wouldn't say nothing. So to see him speak was actually really cool. John, I know you remember that too. So just talk about, you know, what Coach Moore meant to you and how he enhanced your experience with the Badgers as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you knew Coach Moore, you knew he loved you, right? Josh, you said that you didn't even get to play for him, but you felt that. And, you know, that's just the one thing that I always think about when I think of him. It brings a smile to my face, is you just remember his presence and just how much warmth and love just overflowed out of him, right? Like, didn't matter how many years after you were done playing. I remember I saw him in Detroit. You know, you knew Stan Van Gundy well, and saw him 7-8 years later, and him and Jen in the family room. And it was like, you know, I was a senior back at Wisconsin when I saw them. Just, you know, how much love you feel from them. And you know, Dan kind of touched on it, how excited he was at the Cole Center, and he's still there. And when I was able to talk to him in April and see him and look him in the eye, and, you know, you can still feel that, you know, you can still feel that it's in there, that love and warmth that he have, you can see it in his eyes. And, you know, it's the one thing I think that gives us all hope, is that he can, you know, just continue his recovery process and get better day by day. But, man, there's nobody else that I've ever been around that you feel their presence more than him and Jen. And, you know, that's just something that'll always, you know, carry with me.
Yeah, they both were, whether you lost or won a game. I think Coach Moore was the only coach we had, when he yelled at you, you almost like smiled, not like disrespect. It was almost like encouragement in him yelling at you as well. You know what I mean? So, and Q, talk about how, you know, as in your position on the team, how he inspired you, how he made your experience even better.
Yeah, you know, being a walk-on, I know at some schools you can feel like, you know, you're not as part of the team, but Coach Moore made it. He made sure I felt like I was a part of the team. You know, I started late. I came in like 2 months late, but from the first day, he truly embraced me, you know. And then, you know, he always joked about me. He talked about the size of my head, or he talked about, you got some nerd talking about the size of my head. But I remember when Coach Moore left to go to UIC. I remember I was in class, and then Coach Moore was calling me while I was in class, and he was like, "Hey, Q, what you think about coming out to UIC?" And I was like, I almost did it just because of the relationship that I had with Coach Moore. But I was like, nah, I got to finish this out. But I feel like he always had my best interests at heart. You know, he was my advisor out of the coaches. So, you know, when my grades were slipping, he made sure I got on track. Or he was like, do you need any help, any tutoring? Like, he made sure, like, I was a part of the team. And that's why I always remember Coach Moore for that. And I know he's going to fight back too.
Yeah, he's definitely going to fight back. I feel like he always tried to make sure, him and Jen both always tried to make sure at the very least you were fed or had somewhere to go to be fed on holidays, whether it was Thanksgiving. I know we went home sometimes on Christmas or we were traveling. Whatever it was, I think he invited us over on like, he might have invited us over on like President's Day one time or something. I forget what it was. But just to come over to the house and have some food, man. So, Berg, obviously we came in together. We were recruited by Coach Guard. But, I mean, as we talked about already, I think easily you remember Coach Moore's smile from the first time and all that as you step on campus. So talk about it from your perspective.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, just, you know, as Ben said here already, it's his presence was so powerful all the time where you always, you know, he always lit up a room. I think, as you said, at the, you know, the video that they played in the Kohl Center on Saturday where you felt his presence. He, you know, brought up the energy of the room wherever he was, whenever he was. You know, his voice, his smile, his energy, everything. He just made, you know, made the day-to-day grind of the season more enjoyable. And as you said, you know, coaches, they're going to be hard on you. They're going to yell at you and things, but you felt his love more than anyone, I think, where it was. You knew he cared so deeply about Wisconsin basketball and he cared so deeply about you as a person that, you know, even if he was getting on you, you knew it was from the deepest part of his heart or the, you know, the most sincere care that he had behind everything he had to say. So it just made everything so much more enjoyable, you know, anywhere he was.
So all you guys that were at the game, one thing that stuck out to me, and I mentioned what I text Josh when he was coming on the court, and it almost looked like he was like dancing when they were wheeling him onto the court, which was like, I mean, I didn't know what I was like tearing up. I was with my girlfriend sitting here. I had to hide my tears from her because I was sitting there like, and I didn't really know at first if it was voluntary, involuntary, because I hadn't seen him. And Josh mentioned that it was voluntary. And I think that was probably the most like, most Coach Moore moment for me that I could imagine. This dude's been through everything he's been through, still smiling, still dancing, having a good time. So just walk us through the game, what that was like, what that experience was like, what the atmosphere in the Kohl Center was like.
Yeah, I mean, I can start there. I think, as we mentioned, most of us were at the April event. So for me, I don't know, the April event was like just powerful and just like set, like emotional beyond belief for me at least. The game, seeing him go on the court, like tears welled up in my eyes, of course, but I smiled the entire time. I was just like so happy. And it was just so awesome. It was more like awesome, like fun to see him out there because he was like having the time of his life out there the best that he could and just enjoying the moment. He knew where he was. He saw his teammates. He saw everybody. And he was just having so much fun out there. And I couldn't just stop smiling. So it was just really cool to see that. And then Danny brought it up. I mean, Jarrell's speech was pretty awesome. So it was just. I don't think 70,000 people knew he was there. You know, we had the foresight, I guess, to know he was going to be there. So really look forward to it, which is really cool. So I think I took it as more like just a celebration more than anything.
Yeah, I think it was just like having gotten the chance to see him in April. I felt like the same way, Josh, where this was like just another celebration of like the journey that he's on, that he's in a position now where he can be around people. He can be in a large group environment. And it was a good sign. I was talking to his teammates that he played with, Chris Conger, Tracy Webster, Mike Finley. And they said like right when he went back to the locker room after going out on the court, they were just sitting there in a circle and they were all giving him a hard time, like busting his chops like you guys would normally do to me. And they said he was smiling and laughing like harder than they've seen in years, which like just brought chills to me knowing that like he's right there. He's enjoying like just how we would be chopping it up. Those guys were giving him a hard time telling him how he couldn't shoot for the life of him. So, I mean, I think it was a celebration more than anything. It was emotional, but I think for his family to see the warmth from the Badger crowd was special.
Yeah, I think that's same damn where we got to see him last spring. And it was like Josh said, that was heartbreaking, but, encouraging at the same time where I remember vividly the first moment we saw him when Rashard wheeled him out last April. And it was the same reaction where he's in his chair, but he's, you know, he's raising his hands up and he's, you know, trying to give a thumbs up and everything. And then I got to see him, you know, up close after the event. And I remember Rashard had him out kind of in the, like on the way out to the parking lot as we were leaving. And we were, a little unsure, like, can we, you know, is he still like vulnerable from a, you know, sickness standpoint? Like, he doesn't, you know, we're not supposed to be near him or anything. Richard's like, no, come say hi to him, man. Come, you know, so we're there and we're like, you know, grabbing his hand and talking to him face to face. And, you know, you see the life in his eyes still, and you still, you know, you still feel that warmth and that energy and that power from his, you know, his personality. It's still in there, and you see the, you know, the love in his eyes still, even as it's, you know, he's kind of trapped in that body right now with, you know, the what he's been through. But so you just hope and pray that he's able to continue to make progress. But just seeing, you know, the life in his eyes and hearing, you know, Dan, as you just said, like busting his chops in the locker room after, and he's, you know, he's in there like laughing and move around, like, you know, that there's life in there, and you just keep praying for him that he can keep making progress and, you know, continue to improve.
Yeah, I feel like the April event really prepared me for this past weekend. But I don't think I was truly present this past weekend because, you know, when he was coming onto the court, I just kept replaying memories that I had with Coach Moore. And I was just like smiling a little bit because the impact that he had on my life and on all our lives as well. So I just felt like I had a sense of gratitude because we had the privilege of knowing him, and he impacted our lives as well. So I'm like, now everybody else get to see his journey and, you know, get a little glimpse of, you know, what he's been through, but how far he can go as well. So I'm like, they get to experience just a smidge of the Coach Moore that we have for 4 years or 3 years.
Yeah.
John.
And so many people have reached out asking about him, you know, so it's good for people to see like where he's at on his recovery journey. You know, I mean, that's the special thing about Wisconsin and kind of the basketball community is people are invested. Illinois' team was wearing shirts about do more, be more. Like, people want him to get back to where he was at, and you could feel that on Saturday.
Definitely. And Dan, since you've been so involved and helpful in this whole situation, for all those people that are reaching out and listening, I know you know the way to help out and give financially if they can. If you want to mention that on the podcast for anybody that does want to reach out and help in any way they can.
Yeah, I should have been ready for this plug, but the website I think is do more for more, but I'll find the website. But I mean, it's on there where you can still show ways to support the family. I mean, like anyone who's going through difficult financial times, it's obviously a huge burden financially. He requires really intense care. So part of this journey has also been thanking the people who've stepped up so far, but it's a grassroots fundraiser that they're looking to help out. So, I'll grab that link so we can plug it.
Grab that, and we'll plug it later.
John. Or Jordan and Josh can edit it in. Yeah.
Yeah. John, yeah. I love that. John, the hosting skills have not died, man. We appreciate you coming back on. We still love it, man. But
I'm taking notes.
Yeah. Right. I gotta tell Josh to do better every week, man. So, you know what I'm saying. John, go ahead. I wanna like kind of open it up. I know. I don't know what we have for time, but I want to open it up just for any like individual stories. If you have any off the top of your head, if you don't, that's okay too. I know it's tough to be put on the spot. I know we're all old and memories go and all that, but if you had, any individual stories, to share, I think just go ahead. If, whoever wants to go, I'll put John on the spot first, if you have something, but
putting me on the spot. Yeah. I mean, I have one just kind of, as we were talking about, just lighthearted one, you know, how much, humor he had to him and could all his wit and sense of humor was so great. I remember you were talking about the food that Jen and them would always make. I remember we had peach cobbler once after practice at the Kohl Center, and he was standing in line behind me, and I'm dishing it up, and he was so excited for the peach cobbler, and I'm dishing it up, and I'm telling him, I start explaining to him, I'm like, Coach Moore, you got to take the vanilla ice cream over here, put it on top, let that melt into the peach cobbler. And he stops and he goes, well, I've been doing that since before you were born. like, don't try to explain this to me.
His voice will always go into like that deep tone of voice, that deep bass. Every time he gets offended, every time he got something to explain, man. So, no, that's funny.
You and John have already used the Howard voice. I love it.
Chicago? You talking about Chicago?
He loves Chicago more than anyone.
Berg, you gotta tell your story. I don't know if swearing is allowed on this podcast.
Yeah, you keep it. Go ahead.
I think we all probably had this story in mind. Anytime we're together, we're always quoting this from Coach Moore. But there was a year, to give a little context to it, there was a year I got sick with some random thing, and I ended up with like a rash, like all over my, I had a rash on like my arms and my neck and my stomach, everything. And then we're like, no idea. So like, it was like right at the start of the season. No one wants to play against me in practice. We're like, Bert, what do you got, like leprosy over here? Like, no one wanted to touch me. Coach Moore comes in the locker room. Like, once I was cleared to start practicing again, I'm wearing like long sleeves and everything. Coach Moore comes in, he goes, Berg, what the hell's wrong with you? You got a rash on your ass. We're all just dying laughing. Coach Moore line that, I mean, I think every time we're together, we quote that.
Uh-huh. He's also one of the few assistants that would come in the locker room and like we could all be the ourselves and normal. Yeah. Any other coach came in the locker room, we would have like zipped up real quick, but he came in the locker room, we could just chop it up with him.
Yeah, so you're looking around the corner in the locker room, you could say something, it's Coach Moore walking, you're just like, oh, all right, he cool, it's cool.
Yeah, he's good.
Facts. Q, I know you got something.
I remember when I tried out for the team, and I had like some starter locks. My hair was like...
I remember them joints.
It was crazy. And then, the first day, my first practice, I came in with like a fresh cut. He said, boy, I'm glad you cut that stuff off your head. You look crazy. And I'm like, man, you don't even know me like that, though. And then when I used to drive that Lexus, that little old Lexus, he was like, man, you ain't out here selling drugs, are you? He said, you're driving a Lexus, you know, underground, you selling drugs? I'm like, nah, coach. I'm good. I'm good over here.
Yeah, we're going to keep it real 100% of the time. That's for sure, man. Yeah. Josh, I'll let you
Jordan,
cap it
you
up.
You got to have something. Nah, Jordan, you got to have something.
Nah, but I'm hosted, so go ahead, Josh. I get to put you on the spot.
No, I don't have any, like, fun, lighthearted stories just because, like, again, I didn't play with it. I wasn't there during the time. But I do have a story for – I got a chance to visit him after the accident. I went over to his house, actually, me and one staff member, Mark, and he told us everything. Like, he told us the entire story, every detail of what happened in the accident, just because I think he wanted to share and talk about it. And this was weeks after the accident, so he knew everything that happened. He told me the story about how he had to get blood type or something done, and, like, his blood type came back, like, B positive was the blood type or whatever. And I think that's very rare, but he just, like, took that as a sign that, like, I'm going to be positive. Like, I'm going to be positive with the situation. We are going to be positive and get through the situation together. I just thought it was crazy that I was sitting there with him weeks after that accident, that he had that perspective on life that, like, even with this, like, all this stuff going on, unthinkable tragedy, like, he was still, like, positive and seeing the best out of the situation, seeing the best out of people. And it's like, I learned more in that 2 hours that I was sitting with Coach Moore than I have in my entire life, school, everything combined, you know what I mean? Just like being with him in his presence. I don't know. It was just special. And then unfortunately, like the next day, I think, or 2 days later is when, you know, the stroke happened. But I always remember that day and that story they told me, because it was just inspiring. And that's just Coach Moore, you know?
Facts. And I don't have a specific story that comes to mind. I'm good at people putting people on the spot, but when it's me, I'm not. I don't have a specific story that comes to mind. I just know anytime I think of Coach Moore, man, it's just like a sense of comfort comes across for me, like in terms of memory and nostalgia. Like, it's just, I remember coming out of locker rooms after games, and Jen, like I said, whether we lost or won, Jen would be there smiling. She'd give you a hug. Mm-hmm. Coach Moore would say, we get the next one or do whatever it was. And those two, honestly, when I it's one of those things for me when Tim called me with the story, and I'll never forget, I was in France in my living room, and I just remember thinking, like, how hurt I was for him, because those two together, like, that was almost like I remember thinking, like, if and when I ever got married, like, I would want something like they had, because it was like those two were literally best friends. Like, they laughed at the same damn jokes. They made the same damn jokes. They both cracked on people together. They cracked on each other when I was around. So truly, truly special people. Coach Moore is a special person. So that's really all that I have off the top of my head. But
And we talked a lot about how loving and warm Coach Moore is, right? And I think we all know, and maybe not everybody else listening would know, just how warm and loving Jen was. Like, and the combination of them together was just, it was just special, man. And like I said before, you felt it anytime you were with them.
Facts. That's 100% true. 100% true. So dope, 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 man. Appreciate you doing that. Appreciate y'all all jumping on and joining me and Josh today. Before we go to, I also want to shout out Rashard Griffith and Andy Kilbride specifically, right? Those two. Am I missing anybody, Dan? But I know Rashard Griffith. I read the article, really cool article on him and everything he sacrificed to help out Coach Moore. I know on our teams, I know if it was, you know, God forbid, every one of us in that situation, I know we would all rally around each other as well. So definitely shout out him and his sacrifice. And who else did I forget, Dan? I know there's multiple.
No, I mean, Rashard's been the main guy, but his teammates, Chris Conger, Andy Kilbride, Mike Finley, Tracy Webster, they've all stepped up in big ways to help him and the family. So just like you said, it's this Badger Nation coming together.
Beautiful, beautiful.
But definitely Rashard. I ran to Rashard taking Jarrell at 7 a.m. to the gym to get workouts in. Like I ran to the Princeton Club. I think he's with Jarrell all day, every day. Just, I mean, what Rashard's doing is pretty freaking awesome. So
you guys want to feel old. Jarrell's a senior in high school, so that just shows you
how
old we are.
Yeah.
Wow. He's mini Coach Moore though. He's Jarrell's awesome.
Yep. Is he?
Cool. He's so cool. He's a good dude. Yeah.
Is he? That's good. Amazing, man. That's amazing. But listen, that's all we got for y'all. Again, appreciate y'all tuning in. Quentin Smith, John Luhr, Jared Bergeron, Dan Fahey, and of course Yash Yasa. We appreciate y'all all checking us out, and come check us out next time. We'll be back next week with another episode.